Everybody's sniffling and coughing, and praise God for the cold weather. Thank you, Jesus. We should get some good peaches this year. Hallelujah. There's always good to come from everything. That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Praise the Lord. Imagine a woman named Aeon. She's part of a community that prides itself on being 100% Muslim. To belong to Aeon's tribe is to be a Muslim. Aeon's personal identity, familial honor, relational standards, social status are all intertwined with Islam. Simply put, if Aeon ever left or leaves her faith, she will immediately lose her life. If Aeon, A-Y-A-N, family ever found out that she was no longer a Muslim, they'll kill her without question or hesitation. Aeon isn't imaginary. She's a real woman who made a real choice to become a Christian, to die to herself and live in Christ, no matter the course. Because of her decision, she was forced to flee from her family and friends. Yet, she's now working strategically and sacrificially to spread the gospel among her people. What does it mean to truly, biblically follow Christ? And what does it mean to follow him, not only in hostile community like Aeon's, but also in a peace, in a place where relative comfort and security like America? What does it mean to know Jesus and identify your life with his? In short, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, I got up this morning and got downstairs and had my coffee and reading the word of the Lord. And after that, I said, it's time for me to get to church. I said, because I try to get here very early. In fact, there's a guy, he says he sees my truck every time he's heading to church on my car. And he said, from now on, he's going to blow his horn so that I will know that he's passed by and he's praying for me. So I went upstairs and I said, well, I better get there before he passed by because I want him to be praying for me. And I went to put on my pants and they were tight. And I said to myself, self, you need to get some new pants. And immediately after I said that, this came to mind. We as believers take the least part of resistance. Some of us is just like water, just finds the least part of resistance. What I should have said is, it's time for me to exercise and lose some weight. But the reason I didn't say that is because to do that will cause me pain. I'll have to change how I eat. When I go to McDonald's, I'll have to get the grilled chicken sandwich, no fries and water. Leave off the mayo, please. When I go to Ryan's, where they're all you can eat, I have to spend most of my time at the salad bar. But why do that? There's no pain in going and get some steak and ribs. And when I'm finished, make sure I visit the dessert bar. Here's the problem. we are not willing to really do what it takes to follow Christ. And what I should have been saying this morning is, I'm getting a wake-up call. I need to do something so that I don't have to go out and spend money on clothes. I could still wear the same clothes because I've been wearing these since I'm 40 and I'm 53. So I've been wearing these pants for 13 years. And I hope I'll be wearing them for another 13 years. But if I don't do what I need to do, and I just take the path of the least resistance, I would lose out in the end. You know, A.N. could have taken the path of least resistance by deciding she's just going to follow what her parents follow. And therefore, she could be home, be comfortable, have a roof over her head. She wouldn't have to flee. What does it cost us in America to serve the Lord? If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to Matthew chapter 10? Matthew chapter 10. And we'll start with 26. I was going to go further down, but we'll start with 26. Verse 26. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear, whisper, proclaim on the rooftop. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But every hair on your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. First point, the fear factor. We're going to look at the fear factor. You know, when I first became a preacher, God called me. I went to school. I got the education. When people ask me what I did for a living, I would rather tell them something else. I never wanted to tell anybody I was a minister. For some reason, I was kind of embarrassed. Don't ask me why I was. I would rather say to them, hey, I'm an engineer. I work on the base and I'm an engineer. I didn't want to tell them. In fact, when I work at Sears, I would probably tell them, I'm a manager at Sears, and forget the rest. There was something in me that I was embarrassed to say I was a minister of the Word of God. Why is that? Because soon as I say that, guess what? I'm excluded from certain things. They will no longer say any kind of jokes in front of me that they think I shouldn't hear. They really won't invite me anywhere because I'm going to be just a wet blanket on a hot fire. So because of that, I wanted to shrink back. How are some of the ways you are denying Christ in your life? Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And I guarantee you, some of us sitting right here this morning are doing some denying. Maybe it's at school. You know, sometimes for you to be with the popular crowd in school, you can't really say I'm a Christian. Do you know that? You don't even want them to know you're a Christian because you want to be with the popular crowd. And that's a way you deny Christ. Because you just don't want to be identified with him when you are with certain people. Well, guess what? He would not be want to be identified with you when he with the Father. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you're at work and nobody knows that you're a believer. Because you don't want them to put that label on you. Maybe it's in your everyday life when you do things, when you go out to shop, or you are putting gas in your car, all those things, and you don't want to be identified as a Christian because Christians has a bad name. I pray that you're not where I was, because today, I pray this all the time. Lord, I don't want to be known as a real estate agent. I don't want that. That's not my calling. It's not who I am. I want to be known as a minister of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everywhere I go, if somebody asks me, what do? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. They ask me where I pass. I tell them right here. Sometimes I don't even tell them I do anything with real estate. Because I want to identify with Christ. What do you want? God knows all. And guess what? God can destroy all. It says, do not fear those who can only destroy the body. Now, that is hard for us to imagine in America. But here's Jesus. He's talking to his disciples. What is going on? Jesus knows he's going to leave. And he knew persecution was going to come. And he was setting them up for success. He was saying, do not be afraid of those who can only injure your body. But your fear factor has to be in God. Where is your fear factor? Are you fear? Do you have fear of the friends that you go to school with? Is your fear with the persons you work side by side with? Is your fear there when you're at Walmart and in the line and somebody turns around and talks to you and God is saying to you, here is your opportunity to proclaim what I have told you and you have a fear factor? Where is your fear factor this morning? Because there's two ways I see it. You're either going to fear God or you're going to fear man. You got to choose. You know, I praise God for the few pain I've had in my life. I don't like pain. I don't like to endure pain. I didn't like the kidney stone experience. I sure didn't like the toothache experience I had. But as I have gone through these things, I realized this, that I survived them. Sometime to serve Christ, you have to go through pain. It's easier to just go with the flow. Let that water just take you wherever it wants than for you to resist the flesh and follow God. The second thing I want us to look at is the faith factor, which is a true follower of God. Here's where I actually wanted to begin. And this was what I wanted to preach for communion, but I decided not to. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. But I came, Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemy will be those in their own household. Whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whosoever finds his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, I prayed this morning, Lord, I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be normal. I read this, and this ain't normal. You know why this ain't normal to me? When I was growing up, I had 5 brothers. You touch one, you touch all. And if one brother didn't partake in that fight and you went home and says, Mom, we had a fight today and he didn't partake, he go get a whooping. We were like the musketeers, one for all. But you see, when we step out and somebody, don't matter what happened at home, boy, we all going to take you down. But Jesus says here, he says, there's coming a time that there's going to be dissension in the family. I don't understand that. Man, it's like, Lord, we have a way of living that we think is normal. And we love normal. But normal isn't normal. Because Jesus says, he who wants to save his life must lose it. What's up with that? That don't sound normal to me. You would think Jesus said, he who wants to save his life should hide himself in me. But Jesus said, who he wants to save his life must pick up his cross and die. How does this work? Could we apply this scripture today? How can we apply this scripture? I know Jesus is talking about the persecution that is coming. He was telling the disciples, hey, persecution is coming. Guess what? Some of those that are very close to you is going to end up being those that's going to betray you. But how can we apply this today? You ever have a situation and you come to that friend or that brother or that mother-in-law? What's the other one? This way, mother-in-law. That daughter. That father. And you give them what the Word of God says. But that's not what they wanted. They actually wanted you to side with them. And guess what? Now they're mad at you. Do you know that happens today? Do you all know that happens today? Good friends. They come to you. You see what's going on, and in your heart, you want to tell them the godly thing to do, the way to look at it, the way Christ would look at it, the way the Word of God says it, and when you did that, they get upset with you because they think you're taking sides. So what you do now, you leave it alone. You just take the path of least resistance. But Jesus said this is going to happen, and it's going to happen in your household. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen among your family. Because sometimes, you know there's family they want you to pick up for you even though you're wrong? I've heard that. You pick up for me. Then when we get home, you tell me I'm wrong. Let me see if I read that in the Bible here. You know, I can't find it. I can't find it. I wish it was there because then I could make you happy. I could side with you now, and then when we get home, I tell you what the right thing was. Or I could make you mad at me and tell you what God says. What God wants us to do when we are part of Christ is to say what he's saying and to do what he's doing, not take the path of least resistance. So I have a question for you. Are you willing to have the faith factor? Believe in God and do what God says. Are you willing to pick up your cross and die to yourself? Because you know, if I say this, oh, Jesus, help me. But you want to live your life according to the will of God. Here's what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said this. Now, in Isaiah, it says that he's the Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom. But here, Jesus is speaking, and he says, do not think that I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but to bring a sword, bring division. You know, we don't like division. Do you know that? We don't like division at all. But Jesus says, that's what he come to give. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and a person's enemy, the one is will be those of his own household. I could just imagine Aeon's feeling. She has come to Christ. We don't even imagine that. She come to Christ and she knows coming to Christ means I have no family. Coming to Christ means I have to flee. Coming to Christ means my life is in jeopardy. Do we truly have the faith factor? Giving up all to follow Jesus. And whosoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whosoever finds his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Here's the key to this faith. It says, loses his life for my sake, for Christ's sake. You're not doing it for you, you're doing it for Christ. You're doing it because you are a follower of Christ. And a follower of Christ is not normal. Third point. The friend factor. The friend factor. Now, there was a prophet in the Bible and he felt all alone. I mean, he felt lonely. He thought he was the only one left. And as he sat there in his depressed state, God said to him, I have saved 100. I have more than you could imagine set aside. You're not alone. This faith walk is not a walk by yourself. It's a walk with others. Here it is. Whosoever receives you receives me. And whosoever receives me, receive him who sent me. The one who receive a prophet because of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because of a righteous person will receive a righteous person reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water because he is a disciple. Truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Let me tell you, Jesus has friends for us all over that we don't even see. You know, there's a scripture I like. There's a friend. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus have folks there that is not a part of the family that understands and will take you in. Here's the thing. This is not a, how to put it? This is not a soloist. To be a Christian is not being a soloist, but being in a choir. We are not alone. We're never going to be alone. Jesus is always going to have someone there. You know, when I read the scripture, I think about the Jews when they were being persecuted. Guess what? Do you know there were people that taking them in and hiding them in their homes? Do you know they had friends that was taking them in and hiding them in their homes? And do you know those friends, Jesus said that they were getting the same reward, but you know if they got found out, they were getting the same punishment? Do you all realize that? It's not that they were just getting the same reward. If they were found out, they were getting the same punishment. Now, sometimes you may be called to be a proclaimer, or you could be called to be one to be a friend. You could be on both sides of this fence. But we have a responsibility as believers to do what God calls us to do because of this one thing. If you deny him before men, he's going to deny you before the Father. God can make a way. I remember I closed with this one illustration. I was in Florida. I was so glad to come to the United States, and I was living with a great aunt and not much to eat. And this lady from the church, I don't know how she knew. I guess she saw me looking a little deprived of food, I guess. And she came up to me. No, she went to the youth pastor and find out. And he came to me. And that woman left her key under her mat so that I could go into her house and have food. Wait a minute. Do you know she don't know me? She don't know if I'd go into her house and steal all her stuff. I could go into her house anytime and have food. Those who receive a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet reward. Sometimes we think that, and let me tell you, I was staying with family. You think family would treat you the best. You think family would look out for you. But it took a stranger to feed me. God has his ways of meeting all your needs. So I'm going to ask you today, what's your fear factor? Man or God? Do you have the faith factor? Giving up all to follow Christ. And remember, there is a friend factor. God can make a way. Let's pray. Father, in our lives, many of us could look back and see how you just take care of us in spite of the situations that we go through. Lord, I remember the day like yesterday when I had nowhere to live, nowhere to go, at the side of the road. And you brought that number to mind, that person to mind, and I called them. And they did not hesitate. They took me in right away. Thank you, Lord God, that you have friends, that we have friends we don't even know about, that will offer us that cup of water in the time of trouble. We thank you, Lord God, that we can put our faith in you so that we don't have to worry about how it's going to affect us, because we know that we are dead. We picked up the cross and we have followed Christ all the way to Calvary. And Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And the kind of fear we have is a fear of reverence for our God. Father, help us not to deny you in our everyday life, but help us, O God, to proclaim who you are. Help us, O God, not to be afraid to say, I identify with Jesus. Father, your word is so good and so revealing. Help us, Lord, when we open up your word, even though you spoke to your disciples more than 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, let it be applied to our life now. As we leave this place, God, let us make the changes that need to be made so that we can walk the way we need to walk. So that when we see you, we can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.